I'm 23 years old. I'm a Turkmen from Iraq, where Turkmens are a persecuted minority. When I was 19, they picked my big brother off the street and took him to jail. I cried for a week, and my mother has never recovered. We never heard from him again. My father ran a video shop that made enough money for a frugal life. One day, a big group of soldiers came with guns and ransacked the shop. They shouted racist slogans at my father. When they found the video showing Saddam Hussein's arrest, they called my father a traitor. They beat him and dragged him out of the shop. He was covered with blood and barely conscious. They took him away in their truck. When my uncle went to ask about him, they jailed him too. For 2 weeks, they gave him hardly any food and wouldn't let him wash. While there, he learned that they had beaten my father to death. We never got to give him a proper burial. A few weeks later, they came and took me away. They locked me in a small room for 3 days and kept asking me questions about my father and my family. They blindfolded me and refused me food and water. They beat me on the back and legs. Those injuries still keep me from sitting still. They accused us of working against the Ba'ath Party and Saddam Hussein, but we had never been political. On the second day, one of the men asked me, "Are you right-handed or left-handed?" I answered, "I'm left-handed." He said, "Put your left hand on the table." I felt something like a hot iron slam down on my hand, but couldn't see what it was. The second time he did it, I passed out with the pain. The next day, they let me go and warned me they would come back and get me any time they wanted, or get my mother and do worse things to her. My mother was sick with worry, as I was the only son she had left. She wanted to send me where I would be safe, but we didn't have enough money. So she went everywhere, trying to make or borrow enough money to pay my fare to New Zealand, where we had a distant cousin. Eventually, she sold a kidney. That just covered my airfare. She still knew it would be dangerous for me to get out of Iraq. They keep blacklists at the airports and arrest anyone whose name is on the list. It took her nearly 2 years to get enough money for the bribes to make sure I could get out of the country. I had to go to the counter at a special time, and the person on duty stamped my passport and let me through. I was very upset to leave my mom. I was ashamed to be leaving her with no man to keep her safe, but she made me go. She said she might die of worry if I stayed. When my plane arrived in New Zealand, I think I was supposed to ask for asylum, but nobody told me what to do. I didn't have the right papers to leave the airport, so I got back on the plane and it came to Australia. At Sydney Airport, they handcuffed me and took me to Villawood Detention Center. I told them my story over and over, but they didn't believe me. My hand was all crooked and the fingers broken. I would never be able to use it properly again. I showed them my hand. Still, they didn't believe me. After a few weeks in Villawood, they sent me to Baxter. I didn't know who to trust. There were Iraqis there, but I thought they might be spies. There were no other Turkmens in the block where they kept me, so I couldn't speak to the other people. At first, I went to the dining room for meals, but I couldn't sit still, and I just sat in the chair and rocked back and forth. I thought everyone was staring at me, so I decided to stay in my room. One of the families there became my lifesaver. Their 17-year-old son saved my life, could speak a little Arabic, and so could I. When he noticed I was staying in my room, he came to visit me with some leftover food. He could see I was traumatized and almost in a psychotic state. He had a friend in Canberra, Iraq, who visited him and spoke to him on the phone. He rang her and told her about me. She arranged to come and visit me with a Turkish interpreter there so I could communicate. The day she arrived was my 21st birthday, and she brought me a cake. She looked at my hand, and I told her my story. She promised she would get me out. She contacted a cousin of mine in Sydney and went to visit him. She found me an immigration agent. She and my cousin arranged for me to stay in my cousin's house if I could get out. They prepared my appeal. Then, because of pressure on the government by Iraq and other activists, a group of politicians and refugee advocates were allowed to visit Baxter. My Canberra friend talked to one of the activists, Pamela Kerr. Pamela then took a hidden camera into Baxter with her and took pictures of my hand. She used a TV appearance to explain my situation. She claimed the government was keeping a young tortured person who was in serious trauma locked up with no medical help. She told the government if they didn't help me, she would put my whole story and the photos on TV so all Australia could see how cruel the government was. It helped my case, but it still took another 10 months. I was released and went to Sydney to stay with my cousin. My Canberra friend and Pamela Kerr visited me twice. They tried to get me to go to English classes and counseling, but I was too scared and traumatized to go out. For another 2 years, I stayed at home and couldn't sleep. Now I'm much better, and I'm living almost a normal life. I'm learning English and helping my cousin in his shop thanks to my lifesavers. I also got out of Baxter eventually and went to school in Belconnen and to university and got an engineering degree. He lives in Tuggeranong now. The Refugee Action Committee is still helping people like me. All of you here today who contribute money or come to rallies and spread the word, you are my lifesavers. I'll always be grateful to you. I'll never forget you. Now it's my turn and your turn to be a lifesaver to those who are now still in detention on Christmas Island or Curtin or Villawood, still locked up for an indefinite time. They need people like us to be their lifesavers.